Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Welcome to the second episode of Stomp This Way. This is off schedule, not on the schedule. I decided since we published our first episode sooner than we expected, I thought we would do a little filler episode here since I actually paid my $20+ and pre-ordered the Godzilla tie-in prequel graphic novel. I thought I would take this time to talk about that. And also today, they released the full soundtrack for the new Godzilla movie, Godzilla King of the Monsters, and I thought we could talk about that a little bit. I'm Aaron, my friend Dylan, and my brother Andrew are here with me. They haven't read the prequel tie-in comic, but I'm going to sit here and tell them about it as I tell you about it. I have made them listen to a bit of the soundtrack that came out, so we're gonna sit here and we're going to talk a little bit about what we think about the soundtrack, and I'm going to tell you whether I think it's important that you read this prequel tie-in novel or not. Spoiler alert, it's not. but anyway, so I guess first of all, I just thought we would cover a little bit of news. I know that it was recently announced that the original Mothra film would be getting a steelbook release.
Let me guess, you went ahead and ordered that, didn't you?
I have not pre-ordered it yet, but I will order it when it comes out. Let me see what the release date is.
I saw a really cool Chinese steelbook for the original, or not the original, but the 2014 Godzilla. That was pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
I saw that one. So this Mothra one comes out July 9th, and then they're also coming out with steelbooks for the Godzilla and the 2005 Kong. And maybe Skull Island? Let me see. All right, well, here's the Godzilla Steelbook Edition.
Speaking of Steelbooks.
It actually comes out.
I bought a Steelbook Edition of A New Hope today.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's pretty cool. Go grab it real quick. You want to see it?
Sure, let me see it. Oh, that's cool. Can I see that? Where'd you get this from?
Disney Movie Club. It's part of my purchase commitment. I'm gonna buy the six original movies on a... The three original and the three prequel movies on Steelbook, they got them all. The Phantom Menace is Darth Maul.
Oh, that's
it's pretty sick.
That's pretty sick.
And then Attack of the Clones is Yoda. Revenge of the Sith, I don't remember. But Empire Strikes Back is a Stormtrooper. And then Return of the Jedi is Emperor Palpatine. They're pretty cool.
I guess the Godzilla...
But it's just a... Just the Blu-ray and the Steelbook.
This is the new Steelbook I was talking about. It comes out
Look at that.
May 14th.
That's pretty cool.
Look at that. That's pretty cool.
So I guess it's already out.
What's already out?
The new Steelbook with the new cover.
For Godzilla?
For the 2014 Godzilla. Here's the cover. It's pretty sick.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Are you going to grab one of those?
The teaser posters that they use.
Are you going to grab one of those?
No.
No?
It's not worth it.
Are you going to get the Mothra Steelbook?
I will get the Mothra Steelbook because I believe the only available version of the DVD for Mothra is the one that I have, which is like a 3-disc collection with like the H-Man and Battle in Outer Space. And it's a fine DVD, but I would really love to have that Steelbook copy.
I like Steelbooks. I think the build quality on them is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, they usually have some really neat artwork.
The last Steelbook I bought was the original Pokemon Trilogy Steelbook on Amazon.
I like the build quality of Steelbooks. I think they hold up a little bit better, and then the artwork on them is usually pretty cool.
Yeah, so.
Especially this one that I have in my hand with the original poster original. On the back.
I know, that's pretty sick.
Original.
And Darth Vader on the front.
Vader. So, I think, let's go ahead and start and talk about this prequel tie-in. I got this prequel tie-in novel.
It's called Aftershock.
Andrew, did you read any of it?
I looked at the pictures. They were cool.
Okay.
I just skimmed it.
You just skimmed it?
As we sat here.
Okay, so it's called Godzilla Aftershock. I paid, what was it, like $21 for it or something?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, your dad opened that the other day when it came in.
Yeah, so. It's actually like this nice hardback edition. I was kind of...
It's not bad.
I was expecting like, you know, like a normal graphic
novel. It's got some good sounds to it. I mean, we can get all ASMR here. No. It's hard.
Not.
No.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so the one compliment I will give it is the artwork is pretty neat. I mean, if you look at the artwork, they have some like, you know, obviously the parts that are set in, I think, 2014. Those artworks are nice. And then, like, the different style they use for the stuff set back in the Stone Ages is pretty cool. But basically, the story is following Vera Farmiga in 2014, right after the events of the 2014 Godzilla film. And it's already kind of fuzzy in my head, but there's this new Muto. They call it... Here, let me look at the name. It's, at one point, they call it Muto Prime, which is what I'm going to refer to it most of the time in this podcast. It's actually called... they call it Jensen Mushi, is its actual name. They do some hard retconning on the story of the Mutos here, because apparently this Muto Prime's like this ancient Muto that we see battling Godzilla in like this artwork on these stone tablets that were left behind by... some civilization or another. And anyway, so the story is Vera Farmiga following this thing around, and it and Godzilla clash a few times, and Vera Farmiga is trying to find a way, because it kicks Godzilla's butt every time they clash, until the last time they clash, where Vera Farmiga uses some kind of sound that puts it in a docile state, and that allows Godzilla to beat it or something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
But it's trying to lay its eggs inside of Godzilla, and I think it
hot
does, but I'm not really sure. But anyway, Godzilla beats it, and everyone goes home all happy and stuff. But anyway, some of the, like I said, the pros on it are honestly pretty few and far between. I mean, you don't have to read this, I don't think, going into the movie. Like I said, the artwork is the major pro. There are some cool images in here. Really, the only thing that, the big thing that you need to know from the comic is if you've seen the trailer for Godzilla, you're an astute viewer as myself, you notice that his dorsal fins are different shaped than they were in the 2014 film. If you need an actual reason, physical incontinuity reason for that, his spines get shattered while fighting this Muto Prime in their last battle. The real reason his spines look different is because the makers of this movie wanted to redesign them more like the original Godzilla. But, I mean, that's kind of nice, I guess, for, like, the continuity freak in me that, you know, hates it when they change things from sequel to sequel. It gives it, like, an incontinuity reason to why his spines look different. They didn't really give a reason to why he all of a sudden has toes in this new one when he didn't in the last one, but I'll just look over that because I actually prefer him to have toes than have elephant feet, but whatever. But other than that, it is introduced in this comic that Vera Farmiga had an older son, or Vera Farmiga's character had an older son that I think they say is missing at some point. I don't think he's dead. I think he's missing. Also, you know Charles Dance, right?
Yeah.
The Game of Thrones actor who's in this new film is like the main human baddie, I'm assuming. His character is also introduced in this, so I guess it's important to note going into the movie that Vera Farmiga's character and Charles Dance's character had pre-existing knowledge of each other, and he's in this comic book too, trying to kidnap her for some unknown reason. But overall, this prequel comic is not that impressive. The dialogue is pretty poorly written, in my opinion. Like I said, the story is pretty boring. I hate how Godzilla gets his butt kicked every time until the humans, like, totally pretty much win the fight for him. It's kind of dumb. There's, like, no references made to other giant monsters other than the Muto. So, like, no references to Kong or Mothra or Ghidorah or Rodan that you need to be aware of. Kyle Chandler's character is briefly in it. It's established in this prequel comic that they are estranged from each other, him and his wife. And Vera Farmiga obviously her daughter is Millie Bobby Brown, which you could have gathered that from the trailers. So
no way.
So yeah, so nothing really important here. I wouldn't waste my, if unless you're just like a completionist, I wouldn't waste my money on it like I did. So but you know, that's why we had this podcast. That's why I'm sitting here telling you about it, so you don't have to. I'll take the blows for the community here. But anyway, I do have it though, if either of you guys want to. I mean, it doesn't take that long to read. I think I sat down and read it in about half an hour. If you guys get an inkling and want to read it or something,
I might check it out before we go watch the movie.
Just skim over it. Just read some of the more important parts of it. But like I said, not important. So let's talk about something that you guys have kind of dealt with. The score for the entire soundtrack was released today on YouTube.
Yeah.
For the new Godzilla film. Not leaked, released on purpose. It's important to note that. I think there's some important takeaways that obviously we see the titles for the tracks. I don't think there's any major spoilers in them. There's nothing that the titles of the tracks give away that I didn't already assume that was going to happen in the movie.
Yeah.
And they're vague enough to the where you're not like, you know, there's not a title track that says Mothra's death or something, you know. That gives a big plot point away. The only big thing I take from it is that I believe the major climactic fight takes place in Boston.
Yeah.
Because there's a track called, what is it, Battle in Boston or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, so, first thing I showed you was the main title track, the main theme, which is Bear McCreary's take on the original classic Godzilla theme. Personally, I loved it. What did you guys think?
Go for it, Andrew.
What did you think, Andrew?
I thought it was a good track.
Did you like his... I mean, he didn't make many changes to it, but did you think it stays faithful to the original track?
Yeah, it's pretty much the original track, just a little bit redone, with a little bit more bass in the background.
Yeah. Dylan, did you think it sounded pretty cool?
I really liked it. I thought he did a really good job composing it. I mean, it's... like you said, I mean, it's just a rehash of the original, but... done with better modern recording equipment, so yeah. You definitely get to pick up, like, I mean, obviously you can tell in the original recording from the 54 movie that,
like, the intro theme, the
intro theme, the intro theme, with the bum 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 is low brass instruments. Well, in this version you can clearly tell it because it's quite overpowering, and I really like it.
And you haven't seen the more recent Godzilla movies where they do have more modern recordings, yeah, of the Godzilla theme, but this is definitely the most modern sounding one, I guess.
I really like it. I think he does a great job, and it's mixed really well. It sounds really great. I really like it.
Yeah, another track that I knew was going to be on this album, and I was really, really, because I'm a huge Mothra fan, I was really
Masuda,
anticipating, yeah, it. They have Mothra song. And I really like it. Is they took the original edition from the original Mothra film.
The song of the Mothra twins sing?
Yeah, they took the version that they sing in the original film. And they just did an instrumental version of it here. Just, you know, remixed a little bit by Bear McCreary. And I will say the one little bit of a letdown is, at least on the album, there are no lyrics to it. No one's singing to it. They may have someone sing to it in the movie. We don't know that for a fact. Maybe the singing is a little too far for general audiences, but I don't know.
It was one of my favorite parts of Godzilla vs. Mothra when the Mothra twins come out and they just start singing the song.
Oh yeah, there's
Masuraya.
Oh my gosh, when we get to the Rebirth of Mothra trilogy and they just sing constantly, it is just great, great stuff. Did you like it, Andrew?
Yeah, I liked it. It was pretty cool track.
All right.
You literally say the same, like, seven words every time you speak. Yeah. It was cool. Pretty cool. I liked it.
Y'all looked at me weird and it made me laugh. You were like...
But I think there's two other tracks important to talk about. One is called Rodan. We listened to
Rodan.
Grodan? McCreary's Rodan theme and Ghidorah themes are original. He did not take Ifukube's Rodan theme or Ghidorah's theme. He wrote his own. I love the tracks that include remixed versions of or recomposed versions of Ifukube's themes. I will say that a downside to this soundtrack is that McCreary's original stuff is serviceable. I mean, not to say it's bad, but it's just it's really very typical of what you would expect from a epic type blockbuster like this.
Yeah.
Not very memorable. What'd you think about it? Did you, I mean, you're a little more musically inclined. Did you think,
I mean, I like it. I mean, I think, you know, it's nothing, you know, groundbreaking by any means, but for what this movie, I think, is going to be going for, being brought to a more general Americanized audience.
Obviously.
It's a score that most people would expect for a movie like this. I mean, it's got some oriental-sounding themes, kind of, but very, very lightly.
Japanese drummers.
Yeah. But, I mean, for the most part, I mean, it's your typical boom kind of score that you come to expect from a movie like this, so I mean, it's a I like both tracks.
I'm not saying
I think
any of it's bad. I'm just saying
I think they're coming. I mean, I think they're good. I mean, it's no Hans Zimmer, but
well, nah, I'm just kidding. I like Hans Zimmer. Yeah, I agree with you.
They're composed well for what they are. They're just not, you know, what you were expecting, I guess. So
well, I'm not advocating that Bear McCreary should have used all Ifukube's themes in this movie, and actually, that Mothra song was not originally written by Fukube. It escapes me right now who originally wrote it. But I'm not saying he reused all music for this soundtrack. I'm just saying I wish his original stuff would have been a little more memorable, a little more detached from the typical blockbuster.
That's fair. There.
But a couple other tracks I really liked. I really liked this one called Rebirth, which is like, it's like a... how do I describe it? Like a cheery, triumphant version of Godzilla's March. And it's really neat sounding. There's one called Queen of the Monsters, which obviously referring to Mothra, that has a pretty cool, like, grandiose version of, like, Mothra's theme in it. I will say I do have one concern looking at the titles of these soundtracks. I'm afraid Rodan might get the short stick in this, might draw the short stick in this movie.
You think?
Because you look at the... I mean, I'm looking at the list of the tracks right here. And I went through today at work, and I listened to all of them. And, like, Rodan has a total of one track with his name in it, or at least directly referencing him, and that's the one called Rodan. You look at Mothra, she has one, two... She has at least three that I can just pick out looking at these titles directly referencing her. And then... as I was going through listening to him, there's several other tracks that her theme appears in. Godzilla has, let's see, one, two, I think Godzilla has three directly referencing him, and then obviously his theme reappears in a lot of the individual pieces of music, and then Ghidorah has three individual that directly reference him, which kind of leads me to believe that maybe Rodan drew the short end of the stick. Maybe he's not as prominently featured as the other three. I get the impression from this soundtrack that Godzilla and Mothra and Ghidorah are all three very prominently featured in this movie. And maybe it's just because Rodan's theme in this movie, like I said, I can't really discern it from all of his other original stuff in this movie. So maybe that's why I can't really... It looks like he's getting a lesser of a share. And like I said, I mean, I don't know any... All I know... All I'm basing this on is just the titles of these tracks and what I heard at work today. So... hopefully not. Hopefully Rodan is just as prominently featured as the others. But
if we think back to, like, the first time that Godzilla fights Ghidorah with, you know, it's him and Mothra versus Rodan and Ghidorah, I think, you know.
It's Godzilla, Mothra, and Rodan versus Ghidorah.
I thought Rodan and Ghidorah teamed up.
Him and Rodan did fight for a while, but at the end, the three of them teamed up and fought Ghidorah.
No. I thought Rodan and Ghidorah fought together in one of the movies. Mm-hmm. No? Am I?
No, you're misremembering something.
None of them.
No.
I could have sworn they teamed up once.
No.
Nope. No?
Nope.
Oh, wow. Well.
I don't know what movie you're talking about.
Maybe I dreamed that or something.
Maybe you did, but...
That'd be sick. No.
I mean, I'm thinking maybe... Again, this is just pure speculation on my part. We see a scene in one of the trailers where Rodan and Ghidorah are going at it. I think Ghidorah, like, has some kind of mind control ability or something. And that he's, like, leading... Because you hear in the trailer where they're, like... They're talking about how all the other monsters follow Ghidorah. I think Ghidorah, like, forces Rodan into servitude or something, and Rodan fights for him. I mean, I'm just guessing here. Maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe he kills Rodan in that scene, and that's why Rodan only has one track with his name in it.
Maybe.
I don't know. I also, and again, pure speculation, I think Mothra dies She may have laid an egg before she dies. I mean, she probably does if she dies, because they don't want to get rid of Mothra, the character. But because there is a part, if you listen to the Battle in Boston theme, towards the end of it, there's like this stretch of really like sad and depressing music, followed by a really sad and depressing version of the Mothra theme. So either Mothra dies, or Mothra brings somebody who is dying back to life, one or the other. I'm not sure which. But I'm really interested to see. I mean, this soundtrack, if anything, has got me more hyped for this movie, if it was possible. Because like I said, I talked about how I didn't really care for McCreary's original stuff. But his when he is recomposing Ifukube themes, it sounds great. He did a wonderful job. There's especially that one I had you listening to called Rebirth. I don't think we listened to it all the way through, but there's a part in the end where he takes like music cues from Godzilla versus Destoroyah and like just plays it subtly in the background, and it's just like I was just like at work just like crying, like, oh my god, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Not really, but the inside me was. Anyway, so I don't know. I'm excited. We got about a week till we go see this thing in IMAX?
A week tomorrow. We're recording this on a Thursday night, yeah, so tomorrow.
So it's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun. Are we still excited about doing this podcast?
I'm excited.
I'm pretty excited.
I think it'll be interesting to watch these movies.
Oh yeah.
As trash as some of them probably are.
Oh yeah.
I think a lot of them. I love most of them. I mean, yeah, some of them are.
I didn't
trash.
Say just Godzilla movies. I'm talking about the ones in between.
Yeah. Yeah, those might get pretty trashy, yeah. Not gonna lie to you. There's some really good ones. There's not too far down the road, we're gonna do the Daimajin trilogy, which is about a giant stone statue that comes to life in medieval Japan.
Cool.
That's not a bad trilogy.
Actually, I think it's really good. I mean, it sounds cheesy, but I think it's actually really good. And then you'll get to see some of the, like, you didn't get to see the original Mothra, which is a really good movie. The original Rodan, which is a phenomenal movie, if you ask me. And I don't say that sarcastically. I really believe it's a great movie. And there's others, like the newer, the Host, which is a 2006 Korean monster movie that we're going to watch. I think is actually really good. So there's a lot of gems in here we're going to get to watch. I'm really excited about it. Some of them I haven't ever actually seen either. So really fun. Really going
to
be really
looking
fun
forward
stuff.
To it.
Stuff I forgot to cover in the last episode that I had meant when discussing show format. Our grading scale, I totally skipped over that. Totally forgot to talk about it. We're going to be grading these movies on a letter grade scale, so F to A+, or A+ to F, you know? And I will be judging them, like, I'm not necessarily going to be judging them, like, on the same level I would say The Dark Knight. Like, because if we were doing it on that scale, like, all of these movies would probably be in the C range, or at least the better ones. But I'm going to be judging them against, like, movies in the same genre. So like when I give a movie an A+, which I'm not going to do that often,
that doesn't mean that a movie is
better spectacular than The Dark Knight. It just means that in terms of considering the time it was made, the genre it was made in, and the other movies around that were being made around that time, I just think it was really well made and really fun and entertaining. Now there are some, like the original Godzilla, that I may or may not give an A+, that I really think deserve it, even if I was judging it against other high caliber films. But for the most part, just, you know, in context of the other movies we're reviewing, that's how I'm going to be judging mine. I don't know about you. Is that how you judge yours too?
I mean, I'm going to be lenient on them, I think. I mean, I'm not going to like... if I were like judging them based on like modern film and how good some modern film is, I would be like, all right, this movie's a D, this movie's an F, this movie's a D+ or a C- or something, but which would be completely unfair to the movies. Because, I mean, that would make me be like, okay, well, sure it was entertaining, sure it was good, creature design was cool, or our monster design was cool, score was great, but does that make it a good movie? And I mean, does it? I guess we'll talk about that.
Andrew, how many A+s are you going to be doling out?
47.
Very few.
Very few, huh?
I think mine is going to be extremely limited.
Not going to be very many.
When we do an A+, I'm going to do like from Monster Zero, I think I'll do the happy moment sound. And then when we do an F, I think I'm going to do Mina's like squeal that he does. Wah, wah. It's going to be funny. But anyway, was there anything else I wanted to cover that I forgot to cover last episode? I can't think off the top of my head, really. I think I forgot to mention in the episode, I put it in the show notes below. If you want to see our full movie schedule, we have it up on our website at stompthisway.podbean.com.
Podbean.com.
There's a link on the side. I think it says schedule.
It does.
And there's also a link for about this podcast, biographies, which is just a little bit about me, Dylan, and Andrew. You can see what we look like.
If you ever wanted to know what we look like.
Which you'll be vastly disappointed, trust me.
You'll be like, whoa, who are these people?
And I think I had a section for news, which I haven't posted anything yet. I think I will actually post the stuff about the steelbooks and stuff coming out from some website. I'll link an article to them.
Are those up on Amazon?
Yeah, you can pre-order those on Amazon.
We need to become Amazon affiliates so we can put Amazon links in those news sections because we could get paid from that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really well. You know, we're all about the money around here.
Oh, sure.
I don't think I'm going to put ads on this podcast. One, because I respect my listeners more than that. And two, mainly because I'm using copyrighted material in these podcasts and I don't want to get sued. So.
Good reasons.
Yeah, good. That's a very good reason. That is a very good reason.
Well, you won't get sued immediately. You'll just get a cease and desist.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, true. I don't know how laws work, but you know, what if the cease and desist gets lost, and then all of a sudden I got a lawsuit?
Sued. They're like, I'm so sorry.
I'm like, I don't have anything.
I have $0 to my name. I'm a broke college student.
Between the movies and the figurines I've collected, I probably have about $500 worth of Godzilla merchandise. You can have that. Actually, no, you can't have that. You have to pry it from my cold, dead hands.
They're like, that can be arranged.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm really excited about this podcast. I guess that's about all we had to talk. This is a little bonus podcast that's gone 30 minutes, but...
some time cut out of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I guess we're going to promote ourselves a little bit every episode. We have another podcast.
If you happen to like listening to us speak or the sound of our voices, which you probably don't, but that's okay.
I know my voice is just absolutely beautiful.
I mean, it's gorgeous.
Hearing perfection.
But if you like to listen to us talk and you like our opinions, if you want to know our opinions on movies outside of this genre, we do have another podcast called DNA Film Wars. It's on its main host service is SoundCloud. It's also up on Podbean and Stitcher and Castbox and specifically iTunes. It's up on pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. Yeah. So if you like listening to us on here, go check out the other one.
Yeah, we try to do a new release every week. We also
we do a new release every week.
We do a new release.
Sometimes two, depending on the week.
And
this week, if you're interested, we'll be doing Aladdin and Brightburn.
Yeah, and we also go back and review older films. Like right now, we're going through all the old Star Wars movies once a month. We'll watch one a month until the release of the new one. I think next year we decided we would do...
next year, I believe we're going to do Christopher Nolan's
filmography.
Including his new film, which has been announced that it's going to be called Tenet.
Yeah. Sounds like a spy thriller.
It's an action thriller based in European espionage, I think is what I read.
Okay.
I think it'll be good, but we'll review that in the middle of the year, and then we'll continue his filmography. But
anyway, getting off that.
Why don't you go ahead and promote our social media for this one?
Yeah, I have us up on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I usually post to Instagram because there's a nice little feature that you can share your posts to Twitter and Facebook. So
it is nice, right?
We need to set that up on our other podcast, too. Well, you have it shared to Facebook. I don't think you have it shared to Twitter.
I don't.
Yeah, so.
Because it shares to our Facebook and our Instagram, and it shares to my Instagram.
Yeah, so.
Because I have more followers than we do on Instagram.
So we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, and if you want to contact us, you can contact us with any questions and or comments at at stompthisway1954@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's right. Not correct. stompthisway@gmail.com.
stompthisway1954@gmail.com.
Also, you can go to our website, www.stompthisway.podbean.
B-A-N.
Yep. B-A-N.com.
B-A-N?
B-E-A-N.com. Podbean.
Bean.
Just like the pod hosting site, because that's where it's at. And we don't have much information there, but like I said, the schedule, that's the big thing I have on our website that I think you need to go there to check out is our schedule, which I have planned out through like August.
September of 2021.
Yeah, so exciting stuff. I think if you go to the page with the schedule, once we actually start reviewing films, I think I'll put out like the grades for each film we have. I'll post those out to the side as we review films, so you can go back and look and see what we thought without having to actually listen to the episode. Although we would prefer you listen to the episode and give us some good download numbers. I think that's about all we had for you tonight. As always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Dylan.
Thank you for listening, and catch us next time when we actually do review Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Back down as he waves through the buildings.